It's really lovely to see you. We are carrying on with thinking about how we can be free and live as children of light. And today we are thinking about faith. And my job is to try and explain to you what faith is. That's quite a hard job to do. So we are going to think about how we can believe in something that maybe we can't see and sometimes that we don't feel. And so I'm going to carry on. If you remember last week, we were talking about how I wanted to be Wonder Woman. And I'm going to be Wonder Woman this week because I'm going to hold this ball up. Theo, Jude, are you watching? We're going to hold this ball up and I'm going to make this ball stay up in the air. Do you believe I can do it?
No.
I give up now. Okay, you don't believe I can do it?
No,
definitely not. Should we try? Oh, thank you, Sandy. I really appreciate that, but it fell. I couldn't do it. It wouldn't stay. Oh, was it? Yeah, oh, sorry. It didn't stay up. Couldn't make it stay up. So you were right not to believe that I could do it. However, I have got a way that I'm going to make it stay up in the air. And Sean's going to come and help me. It's really funny, we had a real mum moment today because Sean came out in shorts and I looked at him and said, have you seen the weather outside? And then we came into church and it was sweltering and he was like, see. Right, we're going to make this stay up. Do you believe I can do it now?
Yes.
But why? What's changed? Nothing's changed. There's nothing you can see. Turn the hairdryer on. You can hear something. You can't see anything. I don't think it's going to work. You think it's going to work?
Yeah.
You sure? Hope it does now. Okay, thank you. Why did the ball stay up in the air? What was it that kept the Mercilin?
The wind.
The wind, the air? Fantastic. Could you see it?
No.
No, you could hear it. But you couldn't actually see it. And if you were over here, this ball's now actually... Do you want to feel what the ball feels like? Is it really warm? Yeah, it's now really warm. So we can feel the effect of it. We know that it was keeping it up in the air. We couldn't actually see it. And I think that's what faith is sometimes like. Because sometimes we can't see what's going to happen. We have no idea what God's doing. But we can feel the effect of it. And we know that it's there. And sometimes we just have to carry on believing, even when everything around us is telling us not to. And Sean actually told me a story earlier on in the week that I thought demonstrated this really well. And so if we could go on to the slide of the runner, if that's all right. Because there, Sean was telling me about a runner in America who is 14 years old. And she was diagnosed with MS. MS is a nerve disease, which means you quite often can't feel what's going on in your body. And this, she used to play soccer, and they realised that she couldn't carry on playing soccer because it's a contact sport. So instead, she decided to be a runner. And she's a really, really fast runner. She's doing really well in all the leagues over in America. But what she said was this: when she runs, once she gets running, quite often she can't actually feel her legs because of her disease. And she says she can't see or feel what's going on in her legs, but she just keeps running. She has to trust that her legs are going to carry her to the end of the race. She has to trust that the legs are in rhythm and they know what they're doing, and each time they get her to the end of the race. She can't see. If she looks down, she knows that she will lose what she's doing. She looks forward and she runs, and her legs get her to the end of that race. I think that faith is a bit like that. It says there, I have to trust my legs will take me to the end, even though I can't feel them. I just keep going. And sometimes that's what it's like with God. We just keep going. We might not have any idea what's going on. We might even sometimes be able to feel that he's there. We have to trust that he is and that he will get us to the end. And what she says is every time it works, apart from two things. The times when she fails and she falls, are number one when she starts questioning and when she looks down and thinks, are my legs still doing what I want them to do? Then she falls because the concentration has gone. And the second thing, which I found really interesting, was if somebody around her clips her or interferes with her rhythm, it stops her and she falls. And I think that's what it's like with our journey of faith sometimes as well. Actually, sometimes other people can trip us up, and also our own lack of belief in what's going on can stop that race and trip us up. But what's amazing, she was in a race once and she fell over, and she said, I was determined I was going to get up and finish the race, and the other athletes around her picked her up and kept hold of her until she got back in the rhythm again, and she got to the end of the race. And so that's what I think faith is. It's believing and knowing that you can get to the end even when you can't feel and even when you can't understand what's going on. So hopefully that's explained a little bit about what faith is.
Thank you.
Shall I do the activity packs?
Yes.
Yeah. So we've got activity packs that we're going to be giving out. If you want to do them while David's talking, he's going to explain a lot more and a lot better about what faith is. In our packs today, we have got a little magnet. I don't know about you, but I like fridge magnets. I like being able to have a look, and it reminds you of what's important. So in your magnet today, I want you to decorate it in something that reminds you how amazing God is. Because even when you can't see him, the Bible tells us he is there. So on your magnet, you can design something that will remind you how great God is. And then we've got our usual activity sheets for you to do and to take home. So we'll give them out now.
Thank Excellent. You. Thank you, Kerry. Okay, want to get you thinking, adults and children as well. Some of you may know this. George Michael sang about it, and he said, we got to have it. And in the front of a $1 bill, it also says it. What am I talking about? Or what's it say in front of a $1 bill? In God we trust. You can have this one. Don't spend it all at once, Matt. This is what the Bible says about faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Let me read that again. It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who comes to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Let me ask you a question. If you perform better, do you think God would love you more? Do you think that as a church leader, God loves me more than he loves you? No, he doesn't. Because God's love is not dependent on what we do. It doesn't make any difference whether we have a good day, we have a bad day, we feel that we're a good follower of Jesus Christ or we're not. God will still love you unconditionally and perfectly because that is his nature. That is who he is. God could not love you any more than he currently does. However, God's love for you on your own or on its own doesn't mean that you will be the person that God wants you to be. It doesn't mean that you will live up to the fullness of the potential that he has for you. And God's love on his own doesn't mean that you will do the works that he has prepared for you. The Bible says God has works prepared for you in eternity. Things that he's planned for you to do. Ways that he wants to shape your life. But that's about the choices that we make. That's dependent on the choices that we make in following Christ. And the choices that we make really come down to what we choose to believe. What we choose to believe. And it's the choices that actually what we really believe, not what we say we believe. You know, sometimes when we do that, what we think we believe, but actually in reality, what we believe. If you want to know what someone really believes, don't listen to what they say. Look at what they actually do. Because we can say a lot of stuff we don't actually believe in, but it's what we actually do in response that's important. So faith is simply believing what's already true. From a Bible perspective, Faith is believing what's already true. So the key for us is finding out what God has said, choosing to believe it. As Kerry said, whether we feel like it or not, whether we can see the error or not, and there are times in our experience where we'll be aware of God's presence, and there's other times we'll be aware of His absence. So we can't always rely on our feelings in terms of trusting God and in our faith with God. But if we choose to believe Him, if we choose to follow Him, it will transform how we do it. And we all live by faith. We all live by faith. Even those who are not followers of Jesus Christ live by faith. We all live by faith in something. It's who or what we put our faith in that determines how effective it is. For us, it's essential that as followers of Jesus Christ, that we believe what God has said. We put our confidence in that and we choose to respond and obey Him. Romans 4, verses 19 to 20 says this. It should come on the screen, I think. I put it on screen, Philip. Romans 4, 19, 20. Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this, he brought glory to God. For those of you who don't know the story of Abraham, Abraham's called the father of faith, the father of nations, because God gave him a promise in Genesis chapter 12. Your offspring are going to be more than the sand on the seashore. And Abraham looked at his life and he was an old man already, and Sarah, his wife, was an old lady. How is this going to be possible? But he trusted God. He did try and take things into his own hands, and we get problems today as a result of that. And sometimes we can even do that ourselves, where we try and take things rather than trusting God, rather than believing God. But Abraham got to that place, okay, I'm going to trust God. He brought glory to God. We have to believe what God has already said is true. The issue is not what we believe. We all believe in something. Practically every decision we make is about something. So next slide, Philip. Traffic lights. Think about traffic lights. Some of you will have driven here this morning and you will have gone through traffic lights. And if the light was green, you will have gone through probably without thinking about it. Because you had faith to believe that on the other side, it was red and the person knew to stop. What I discovered in Nigeria... yeah... You're ahead of me, aren't you? Yeah. It was kind of optional extra if you felt like stopping at the red light. You kind of did it. But it seemed to be not so mandatory there. So coming through traffic lights, it really was a step of faith if you went forward. And it's such a simple thing. We know that when we go to a light switch, we expect, we believe that when we press that light switch, what's going to happen? We're going to get light. We expect that when we flush the toilet, it'll flush unless there's a problem and we need a plumber. Under normal circumstances, a lot of our life is operated by faith. When you came in this morning, none of you got the chair, examined the fabric, examined that the screws were in the right place. None of you did that, did you? At least I don't think you did. Because you accepted by faith that that chair is going to hold your weight. We live a lot of our life by faith, and we don't even always recognize it. The critical issue is who or what we believe in. See, you may say, well, flights are so expensive. I believe that I have enough strength in my legs for pedal power a plane across the Atlantic. And you may really believe that. But you're going to be wrong, aren't you? It's not going to work. You're not going to have enough strength in your legs to carry the weight of a jumbo jet across the Atlantic. So it's who or what that we believe in. That's the critical issue. Two stories told of a guy who was a hypnotist who announced that he had psychic powers and he was going to give a public demonstration of his psychic powers. So he was going to drive blindfolded. He drove for about 20 yards into the back of a police car. You see, it didn't work. It's not simply about having faith. And one of the interesting things we need to recognize as well, it's not having faith in our faith. Because sometimes people think, well, if I muster up enough faith, and they kind of feel as if they're trying hard enough. And people have even said at times, oh, the reason you didn't get healed was, oh, you didn't have enough faith. And they feel they haven't mustered up enough faith. It's not about having faith in your faith. The Bible never tells us to have faith in our faith. The object of our faith is God Himself. So it's who or what that we have faith in that will determine whether our faith will actually work. If you have your Bible, I want to turn briefly to something in the Old Testament. 1 Kings chapter 18. The readings aren't on here, but the reference is. You can look it up later. It's page 294 in my Bible. So if you have your Bible or your phone or something like that, you should bring your Bibles to church. You know that. Many of you haven't got a Bible to look at. Can I encourage you to bring your Bibles to church? Because the Bible is the basis of our faith. The Bible itself says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So can I encourage you to bring your Bibles to church or have the YouVersion app on your phone so you can follow along. We're reading from 1 Kings chapter 18. You may know the story. It's the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel. And the background is he's had a lot of conflict with the king Ahab. Ahab is an ungodly king and he's let his wife dominate things, set the agenda, bring false prophets into the nations instead of worshipping God. And there's 400 of these false prophets of Baal. And Elijah's had enough of this. And God is trying to bring them back into complete obedience to him. And then we pick up at verse 21. Elijah stood in front of them and said, "How much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him." The people were completely silent. Then Elijah said to him, I am the only prophet of the Lord who is left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Now bring two bulls. The prophets of Baal may choose whichever one they wish and cut it into pieces and lay it on the wood of their altar, but without setting fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood on the altar, but not set fire to it. Then call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by setting fire to the wood is the true God. And all the people agreed. Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "You go first, for there are many of you. Choose one of the bulls, prepare it, call on the name of your God, but do not set fire to the wood." So they prepared one of the bulls and placed it on the altar. They called on the name of Baal from morning until noontime, shouting, "O Baal, answer us." But there was no reply of any kind. They danced, hobbling around the altar that they had made. At noontime, Elijah began mocking them. "You'll have to shout louder," he scoffed, "for surely he is a god. Perhaps he's daydreaming, or is relieving himself, or maybe he's away on a trip, or is asleep, or needs to be wakened." So they shouted louder, and following their normal custom, they cut themselves with knives and swords until the blood gushed out. They raved until afternoon, until the time of the evening sacrifice, but there was no sound, no reply, no response. Then Elijah called to the people, "Come over here." They all crowded around him as he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been torn down. He took 12 stones, one to represent each of the tribes of Israel, and he used the stones to rebuild the altar in the name of the Lord. Then he dug a trench around the altar, large enough to hold about 3 gallons. He piled wood on the altar, cut the bull into pieces, laid the pieces on the wood. Then he said, "Fill 4 large jars with the water and pour the water over the offering and the wood." After he had done this, he said, do the same thing again. And when they were finished, he said, now do it a third time. So they did as he said, and the water ran around the altar and even filled the trench. Verse 36. At the usual time for offering, the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar and prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant. Prove that I have done this at your command. O Lord, answer me. Answer me so these people will know that you are Lord, our God, and that you have brought them back to yourself. Immediately the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. It even licked up all the water in the trench. And when the people saw it, they fell face down on the ground and cried out, the Lord, He is God. Yes, the Lord is God. Quite an incredible confrontation there between false prophets and the prophet of God. Who had the greater faith? Well, we don't know, do we? Because the prophets of Baal were very faithful. They were there all morning, they were shouting, they were ranting, they were raving. They believed that their God would answer. And they did it right through to evening time. But then Elijah came. He set up the altar, he made sure it was doused well in water, completely sodden, completely soaking. One prayer and immediately everything's burned up. So it's not just a fact that people have faith. It's the object of your faith that is critical as well. And the difference was God, the God of heaven, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we know He was real. It's the God that we serve. It's the God that we worship. But the other was a false God. And sometimes people say, well, I wish I could have your faith. I wish I could have your faith to go to different countries and preach, even in difficult circumstances. Or someone could maybe might say, well, I wish I could have the faith of so-and-so. But actually, if we're followers of Jesus Christ, the Bible says we have all been given a measure of faith. Do you know that? We've all been given a measure of faith. And so God expects us to use that measure of faith to do what He's called us to do. Faith is making a choice to believe what God has said. Faith is making a choice to believe what God has said. That's why we encourage you to read the Bible. That's why we encourage you to have your Bible or use the Bible app. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we need to get to grips with God's Word. We need to read God's Word. We need to understand God's Word, because that's what builds up your faith. It's not actually simply listening to sermons that will do it. It's not actually watching YouTube. It's you getting to grips with it for yourself and believing it for yourself. Because I can't believe for you. And many of the things God wants to do in your life, you will have to have the faith for yourself. So how do we increase our faith? Certainly, it's about hearing the Word of God and responding to it. I remember when my lads were younger, they were climbers and jumpers, Sue. You understand what that's like. With three boys, and the youngest one was called Spider-Man because he spent most of the time climbing the walls. We have a great picture of the eldest lad, and we caught him mid-jump. He was jumping from one sofa to the other sofa, and I just came in at the right time and caught him on picture. And the thing with kids is they'll start off very small, won't they? And then maybe, and you encourage them to walk. Are you at that stage yet, Nana? So where you're kind of watching, and maybe they'll jump. Well, my kids used to launch themselves. And faith grows as they launch themselves for a little bit, and then they'll get confident, won't they? And they say, go back, go back. So you go back a little bit more, and they jump, and you catch them, so they feel confident, and then go back, go back. And you're starting to get nervous at this point. But they have complete faith. They have complete confidence because up to now you've caught them every time. And then you get to the point where you're probably thinking they're at the limits of what they can do. And they launch themselves and you catch them. And that's exactly what happens with our faith as well. It's little by little. It's as we take those steps of faith, and we choose to believe God for maybe the small things, then we see that God comes through for us. We see that God answers our prayers. We see that God is there for us. Then we can maybe believe for more things, and we're able to trust Him with bigger and bigger things in our life. It's a simple illustration that God wants to stretch our faith. God wants to grow our faith. But we have to be willing at times to take that jump, to take that leap of faith, believing. I do believe it's good to memorize God's Word. I do believe it's good to know God's Word. But the truth is, unless you actually exercise that faith, you're never going to grow. You see, you can memorize stuff, but never actually take a step of faith. Giving is one of those areas. So we may agree that the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. Because that's what the Bible says, isn't it? God loves a cheerful giver. But until we actually exercise our faith and give and tithe, then how are we going to know that God's going to provide for us? And that's the challenge. We might agree, we might intellectually agree that God will provide for us, that we should give. But our faith won't grow until we actually give, until we actually honor God with our giving. And then suddenly we find, actually, God met this need. And I've encouraged people throughout the years to start to give to God and see how He meets your needs, to begin to honor Him. And for some of you, it may be a journey getting to that place where you tithe. And we understand that your faith may need to grow. But I can guarantee you that when we honor God and when we trust God and when we believe God in those areas, He is an object of our faith that can be trusted. Many of you here have seen that over years and years. When you've honored God with your giving, He honors you, doesn't He? He honors you. It doesn't always make sense. You can't always see it, just like the hairdryer with the table tennis ball. But when we honor God, He finds a way to honor us. And that's where faith, that's where the rubber hits the road. Because we can agree with stuff, but faith is actually demonstrated by your actions. Not by the nodding of your head, but by your actions. Because the words faith, trust, and believe in the original language are basically the same word. In our context, they're not. So, but not really trust either the person that's saying it or that it's actually true. We can agree with something intellectually and we think we believe it, but it's not actually faith. So when it comes to following Jesus, John 1 verse 12 says, as many as came to Him, those who believed on His name and received Him, He gave the right to become the children of God. So there's an equation there. Believing, and that we often assume is a mental assent. It's not just that. Believing plus receiving equals becoming. That's how we become a follower of Jesus Christ. Believing and receiving equals becoming. We then become a child of God. Believing and receiving equals becoming. So that receiving is the actions where we might pray that prayer and say, Lord, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. We did it recently, Adam, didn't we? With you. That's why he's getting baptized. We did it recently. Lord, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. Thank you that Jesus died for me. Please come into my life and fill me with your Holy Spirit. That's receiving. That's the demonstration of faith. James said in James chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Someone will say, I have faith and you have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. See, it's important not that we just see it as a mental assent. It's a reliance. Faith is a reliance on God. Say you came to me and said, Pastor, next year I want to go to Nigeria with you. I'd say, fantastic. Start raising the funds. Start believing God. And you say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And maybe you'll check the schedule and see when British Airways are flying. And you'll know the route. And some people go to the airport, don't they? And They have those apps where they scan and they can see the flight and the flight number and what type of aircraft it is. There's some people who are geeky that way. You could do all that. You could have all the information. But guess what? Unless you apply for your visa and get on the plane with me, you ain't going to Nigeria, are you? You could have all the faith that you want to believe. You could say it, you could speak it out. I'm going to Nigeria. But until you actually get on that plane, until you actually demonstrate your faith, you ain't getting to Nigeria. That's exactly the same when it comes to God. You can have all the technical details, you can know it in your head, but until you take that step of faith, if you want to know what you really believe, look at what you do. Not what you say you believe, but what you actually do. Whether that's giving, whether that's serving, whether that's church attendance, whether that's prayer, whatever it is. You see, if we say it and don't do it, it's just religion. It's just religion. It's only what you do that's actually of faith. It's only what you do that actually counts in response to God. Our faith grows when we make the choice to put it into practice. But if we're honest, in difficult times, maybe it's a health scare. Maybe it is financial concerns. Maybe it is an uncertain future. In those times, our faith can wobble and waver a little bit. And God has grace for us in those times. But it's still a choice to put our faith in God. It's still a choice to put our faith in God, even in those difficult times, even though in those times that are uncertain. The truth is, everyone here can become a mature follower of Jesus Christ. Everyone here can become a fruitful follower of the Lord Jesus. There's no one here that can't resist temptation. There's no one here that can't get out of a cycle of despair or hopelessness. There's no one here that can't leave behind a negative past or negative behaviors. There's no one who's listening to us that can't get away from negative influences or past influences and move on. You need to know what God says is already true. Choose to believe it and then move on. And that's one of the things we've said as the church right at the start of the year. We said that it's time to progress. I think I had that on a slide, Philip. It is time for us to progress. Next one, please. It is time for us to progress. And here's the areas God wants us all to grow in. Growing in our identity as children of God. We need to believe what God says about us. What He says in His Word. And not just mentally accept that, but actually believe it and act on it. We need to grow in our ability to love well, love God and one another. Growing in the stewardship of our gifts. That's our time, that's our money, that's our resources. God wants us to grow in these areas. It's going to take faith to do it. We need to grow in our soul through grief and loss. Maybe you've faced loss. Maybe you've faced times of grief. Lots of people have in the last 18 months. God wants even to use those times that we will grow in our faith and trust Him and grow in our character and knowledge. God wants us to grow in all of these areas. And we can. If we choose to believe what He says, if we choose to trust in it, rely in it, and act upon it. One of the things we've been doing over the last couple of weeks is kind of giving some affirmations, some confessions of faith that I think are really helpful to us. Now keep in mind when we come to these, there's nothing magical about reading out lists. There's nothing magical even about reading Bible verses per se. The truth is, they will only have an effect in your life to the extent that you decide to believe them. To the extent that you decide to believe them. But I encourage you, we have a handout. There's some handouts at the back. It's called the 20 Cans of Success. Things that are positive affirmations from the Bible that we can. We're not going to read all 20 in a moment, but we are going to read some of them together. And you can get the handout, and we can put that on Signal as well for those who are watching online. I believe that it is important that we can share those, that we can say those, because the Bible says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, that's how we receive. So we're going to stand together, and there's going to be a couple of slides. Kids, you can follow in this as well, because we're going to ask you to repeat this, so you can listen to my voice and repeat this. So let's stand together as we say some of these affirmations. They'll come on screen for you. And so I'll say the sections, and then we'll go back and repeat them in turn. There's three slides in total. So kids, you can say this as well. So let me say them one at a time, and then we'll say them all together. Sometimes I feel like I can't do something, but the Bible says I can do all things through Jesus who makes me strong. So together. Sometimes I feel like I can't do something, but the Bible says I can do all things through Jesus who makes me strong. Me again. Sometimes I feel afraid, but the Bible says God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Sometimes I feel afraid, but the Bible says God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Sometimes I feel weak, but the Bible says God is my strength and my shield. Sometimes I feel weak, but the Bible says God is my strength. Sometimes I worry, but the Bible says I should tell God my worries because He cares for me. Sometimes I worry, but the Bible says I should tell God my worry because He cares for me. Sometimes I feel guilty, but the Bible says I am not guilty because I'm free in Jesus. But the Bible says I am not guilty because I'm free in Jesus. Sometimes I feel alone, but the Bible says I'm not alone because God is always with me. Sometimes I feel alone. The Bible says I'm not alone because God is always with me. Sometimes I don't feel good enough, but the Bible says God loved me so much that He sent His Son to die for me. Sometimes I don't feel good enough. The Bible says God loved me so much that He sent His Son to die for me. Sometimes I feel confused, but the Bible says God gives me peace and will help me understand Him. But the Bible says God gives me peace and will help me understand. And the last one, sometimes I feel like a failure, but the Bible says I am more than a conqueror in all things. The Bible says, God's people said it. Amen. Amen.